Beautiful song. He knows my name, my every thought, and hears me when I call. Amen.
Amen.
We want to, again, I was all prepared to do Advent today, and I really was. We're going to wait one more week, and we will get into the Advent. And work our way into our Christmas message. And so today I want to just talk about or deal with the subject of love.
Amen.
Of love. And what brought me to that, to this idea, is that I've been hearing a lot of rhetoric. You know what rhetoric is, right? Stuff that's not worth listening to. I've heard a lot of rhetoric about, where we are as a nation. We're divided, politics and race and everything else. And I'm a divided nation. We're blue and red and all of that. And I don't mind hearing that on the news and folk that don't know the Lord. But when I'm talking to Christians, and we're beginning to sound just like the talking heads, I guess my own personal opinion, I'm going to try to back with the word of God, I believe we got a problem.
Amen.
I believe we're losing focus. And I don't think it's because of COVID. I just think stuff is coming out of even some of us that's been there, that we didn't have an outlet for, and now that we have someone who is stirring up the pot, we decide to get into the conversation ourselves. Instead of using it as an opportunity to show them love, we are actually beginning to sound just like they are. And so you guys know I don't always listen to gospel music. Love it. I do. I sing it all the time. But every now and then, I got to go back and grab some of that vinyl. You know, and I listen to stuff like J.B., James Brown. Come on now. Get on the good foot. Amen. I try to make it spiritual. Good foot. Walking in the right direction. You know. I think I might be stretching it a little bit, but you know. But then I hear like Marvin Gaye, "What's Going On?"
Yeah, yeah.
And I get to listen to the words, "Mercy, mercy me." And I listen to the lyrics of these songs, and these people were touching on sensitive issues that we're still dealing with today. You know, but it was one that got me on yesterday that I'm going to read the words. I was going to try to sing the words, but Karen said I should not try to sing these words. So I'm going to read the words to you. And I want you to listen to the lyrics in this song, and you'll probably know it once I begin to say it. It says, "Good morning or evening, friends. Here is your friendly announcer. I have serious news to pass on to everybody. What I'm about to say could mean the world's disaster, could change your joy and laughter to tears and pain. Is that love's in need of love today. Don't delay. Send yours in right away. Hate's going around, breaking many hearts. Stop it, please, before it's gone too far. The force of evil plans to make you its possession, and it will, if we let it, destroy everybody. We all must take precautionary measures. If love and pleasure is your treasure, then you'll hear me when I say, oh, that love's in need of love today. Don't delay, send yours in right away. Hate's going around. Hate's going around, breaking many hearts. Stop it, please, before it's gone too far. Those are the words of Stevie Wonder. And what he's saying is love's in need of love today. And that's what I want to talk about, is because I believe love is God. And he wants to see us show love today. Despite your political views, despite your racial hostility. See, we think because we're Black, we don't have this racial hostility. We think it's all the other folk. No, it's some angry Black men around here. Amen? Yeah, I'm talking about in the church. And we have to get to a point where we realize that the word of God tells us no. We can be involved in the discussions, but we have to come right because we're righteous. And this is what Ephesians talks about. When I read earlier in verse 17, where it says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk or live as the rest of the world walks or lives. Amen. We ought not live like they live. We ought not act like them. We ought not have those attitudes of ingratitude. Amen?
Amen.
We ought to be grateful. Why? Because of the grace of God. And we ought to be so grateful because what? It was grace that saved us. It's grace that keeps us. We ought to live by grace. Amen? And that's why I went over to the other part where it says in verse 29, it says, let no corrupt word, because I'm hearing all these conversations, proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Don't y'all understand that the badder or the worse that you've been treated and how you respond with grace, it just shows people that you are of a different make, that you are a peculiar person, that you don't let this stuff down here that's temporary get it inside your skin where you respond wrong. Yeah, because we can respond wrong. And we need to understand one thing is that our whole agenda is not to make you a Democrat or Republican, it's to see if you can get saved by the grace of God.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Nobody in this sanctuary knows my political views, not even my wife. We don't discuss politics. She don't even know how I vote. People always say, well, I know who you voted for. You don't have a clue. You don't even know if I voted at all. Because it's never involved in my discussions. And I'm always talking to people. They always say, man, did you see what the president did today? I said, no, but did you pray for him? Yeah, you ought to pray. Don't say pray. Amen. We don't carry around evil in a bucket waiting to give it to somebody else to see if they're going to agree with our views so we can be upset. You know, that's foolishness. We got too much to be thankful for. Despite all the things going on in the world, as good as God is, you're going to waste the time he gave you to talk about something that you can't even control. When God is saying, I created you, I saved you, that you might share love, and love is in need of love today. Folk are looking for the right thing, and the right person is Jesus. And so when he says in verse 17, he says that we ought not walk that way, then you ought to ask the question, then how are we supposed to walk? Well, I'm glad you asked. All you got to do is read the Bible. Because he doesn't stop in chapter 4, because I want to jump into chapter 5 to really get to the message.
Amen.
He says there's three ways we ought to be walking as believers in Christ. Isn't it amazing how he always gives us 3 points? Or do I just make that up?
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. Amen. Amen. A little bit of both. But he says, since we're not supposed to walk like the unbelievers do, then how are we supposed to walk? Well, let me give you 3 ways. I'm going to give you my points now because some people say when I preach sometimes, Pat, I missed your points because you talk so fast. And I thought, did I get this one? Did I get that one? So I'm going to give them to you first. And then you fill in the blank. Amen. Make life a little easier for you. And the first way we're supposed to walk, we ought to walk in love. Amen. That's why I say love is in need of love today. I'm starting off with the basics of love because you know what? It was love that saved me. So we ought to walk in love. And then we ought to walk in light. Amen. We ought to walk in light. And the last one says we ought to walk in wisdom. And I had to look too far because the points are right there in the Bible. I ain't had to make this up. See, we're not supposed to walk like the Gentiles. So in your Bible, chapter 4, 17, highlight that. And then I skipped over everything else because I want to keep you for a 2-hour Bible study. And I got right down to the nitty gritty where he says that we ought to walk in love, we ought to walk in light, we ought to walk in wisdom. Why? Because of 4:32. It says that we ought to be kind to one another, which is everybody, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven us. Amen? That's what we ought to do. Why? Because we've been saved. And not by anything we've done, it's by the grace of God. We've been forgiven. So no matter what they do, you ought to forgive folk. Amen? We ought to be some forgiving people. We ought to be known by the fact that we're always trying to forgive someone for what they're doing. Why? Because eventually they might forgive you because you're going to do the same thing. We ought to be known as the forgiving people, loving people. And so he starts off in chapter 5 by saying, well, how do you walk in love? Well, you got to imitate love. Amen. Look at verse 1 in chapter 5. It says, therefore, since you have been saved, right? You have been forgiven. You ought to be an imitator of God as beloved children. Right? And so verse 2 says, and if that's true, then walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself just for us, a sacrifice, a sweet smelling aroma to the Lord. We ought to be an imitator of God. That word in the Greek, imitator, actually means mimic. Y'all know how to mimic someone, right? I used to make my brothers and sisters mad. You know, because we were siblings growing up together, and we used to, you know, you just wanted to get on their nerve. Just mimic what they say. And if that's just something, say, yeah, stop him, stop messing up. You know, just, but mom, please mocking me. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
You just mimic you. You know, I was doing the same thing they were doing. They were doing something, I do the same thing. It just drove them crazy. Why? Because I'm just a bad kid. But here he said, mimic God. And what I want us to understand is, if you go back up there, it says 29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. And if you're mimicking God, when we begin to say things, all you got to do is ask yourself, would God say that? Would God do that? That's all you got to do. If we're going to imitate God, we got to begin to do the things God did. Amen? We got to walk like Christ. Don't you remember when he was going to the cross and they beat him and they spat on him and all of that?
Yeah.
And what did he say? Father, forgive them. For they what? Know not what they do. You see the Ephesian text? Doesn't the Ephesian text say that? It says that verse 18 and 4, it says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance, they know not what they do. They know not what they say. And we wound up mimicking them. as opposed to mimicking God. No, we're supposed to be walking in love. We're supposed to get them to understand, no, this is what we're supposed to be doing. You know, despite the fact that all these things are going on, all this division is going on, all this racism, all this institution, we got all that. All that's true. Yeah, it is true. But it's how we respond to it that people get to see God in that. I'm not saying you shouldn't get involved in the conversation, but it's what are you saying when you're involved in the conversation? I'm not saying you shouldn't get involved in politics, but what are you doing when you're involved? Are we beginning to sound like them, or are we trying to put a what? A spiritual emphasis on what all of this is going on. That the war is not really between Democrats and Republicans, it's between evil and good. Amen. And I'm not saying which one is evil and I'm saying which one is good. I'm just saying in the dialogue, you got to be able to what? Decipher that and what? Realize that God, you know what? I can't go with you there. Yeah, I'm talking real stuff here, and I know some people might want to hear what I'm saying. Is that I'm even talking about when folk come up to you and say, did y'all see what the president did? And they begin to talk to you about, oh yeah, he's stupid. All you can, all you need to understand, if we're believers, they say, well, hold up. Would God say that? Even about him. They ask him, would God say that about him? I don't think so. See, when we really want to be believed, because it's not so much what he did, it's what you're saying that's hurting your witness. Amen. And that's what we got to be concerned about. He says, if I begin to get into that dialogue with them and not point out the emphasis of what I'm supposed to be doing in Christ, I'm fitting right in with them. And we have to check ourselves. Because I'm an imitator of God and I'm going to show love. 1 John 4:8 says, what God is love. Amen. And we ought to be walking, we ought to be living our lives in such a way that we're making a sacrifice to God, which is a sweet aroma unto the Lord. You know, that means our behavior. We're talking about the fornication, the uncleanness, and all of that, filthiness, foolish talk, and all of that. But all of that, look, it says down the bottom, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. What he's saying there is that a lot of people profess Christ. They're empty words. Why? Because their behavior is not indicative that they're following Christ, that they're imitating Christ. So it becomes empty words. Here's what I mean by that. He said, if I'm getting into this dialogue with you about the political issues, about the racial issues, all that kind of stuff, and I'm really getting into it, and I'm even my language is changing, all that, and then all of a sudden I want to get religious on you. People say, wait now, but y'all, you're going to change gears like that. See, if you stay one way all the way, you're consistent one way, people know where you stand. And you stand for righteousness, which means you even help correct them. Because again, sometimes they get caught up in it, you know, they say, look, hello, brother, let's really talk about what you're talking about here. I understand where you're coming from. But do you have to come at it from that angle? Can't we look at it from what Christ said in his word? All of a sudden, you're showing love. You're showing them what we're supposed to be doing. Why? Because you want them to be the partakers of the same grace that you have in Christ. And so what I'm trying to say here is that your first thing you need to understand is that if we're going to walk in love, we have to reproduce that which Christ has put inside of us. See, it shouldn't be a foreign thing to you to actually show love. Amen. You ought to actually know what love is. Amen. And all you got to do is go one book back and you go to Corinthians, right? And it tells you right there, it says, love suffers long. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Huh? You want to highlight that? It does not seek its own. It's not provoking evil. You know, it does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. We're going to be imitating that which Paul has described in 1 Corinthians 13, because again, if we're going to be imitating God, we're imitating love. 1 John 4 said again, God is love. And so when we live our lives, we have to make sure that we are doing the things that God would do. And that means your conversations too. Amen. That means your attitude. Why? Because your attitude propels your actions. And here's the key, is that when you say certain things out of your mouth, and then you say, well, I didn't mean to say that. That's not me. Oh, it is. It is. And a lot of times things come out of our mouth actually shows us what's in our heart. And we need to know that. And we need to correct ourselves and others in love, right? Isn't that what he said early over there in chapter 4? He says, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. Amen? See, we got to understand things. We can't just say, okay, I'm walking in love. No, people ought to see it in you. Amen? We ought to be reproducing Christ. Got it? Reproducing Christ. The second thing you want to do is we want to walk in light. And here's the reason why you want to walk in light is because we are supposed to be light. Amen? We are supposed to be light. Look it down in verse 8. It says, for you were once darkness. It didn't say you were in darkness. I think the Bible literally, it says you were once darkness. So I'm not talking about light and dark. Like we know it, if I come in here and turn the lights off, it gets dark. It's talking about your character. It's talking about your character. You were once dark. In other words, the things that we used to do did not reflect Christ. That's your second key word. Reproduce, love, reflect Christ, the light. Reflect. We didn't reflect. We were once darkness, but now, you see that? See, the good thing about the first part, it says, you were once. See, you were. Got it? That's the part I look for in my name, what I used to be and what I am now. I once was, but now, it says, but now you are light in the Lord. It says you actually are light, your character. In other words, when you come into a room, people ought to automatically see something different, and you ought to reflect the glory of God, and certain conversations might not even take place anymore because they know who you are. Amen. You're walking in the light because you are the light. So what I'm saying is that people say, you're walking in the light. No, when you're walking, you're bringing light. See what I'm saying? Amen. You don't just walk in the light. Because if you just walk in the light, that means you got a different character outside of what you're doing here. And you're walking into something good. But when you leave out, you can be dark again. And here's the key. Darkness and light can exist in the same place. Can't happen. I tried it last night. I did, but see, because I said, I can't say that unless I try this thing out. And so I went into the bedroom, and I closed the door, the car, the shirt, and all that, and I turned the light off, and I couldn't see anything. I couldn't see my hands. It was very dark. I couldn't see anything. So I walked back over, I stepped back over there, and I clicked the light back on, and all of a sudden, guess what? Darkness was gone. See, that was my empirical evidence. That light and darkness can exist together. So what kind of character do you have? If your character is dark, you are not in the light. You are not of the light. Because they cannot exist together. And this is what he said. He said that we are, look, walk as children of light. Didn't say walk as children in the light. It's saying that we ought to go into a room in order to get bright. Because of your character, because of who you are, because of your rep. And you ought to reflect the glory of God. Boy, it changes conversation, doesn't it? They call you funny names. Or you come preacher boy. Right? Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Yeah, see, y'all, yeah, I love it. Thank you very much. Because I want to reflect. I don't want to come in there and they're telling jokes about people, bad, you know, cursing them like that, and they keep going on, and then, like, I just fit right in with them, and they say, hey, man, you heard this? They never ask me that. They won't even come up to me and say, hey, you want to, you haven't even think about that. Because you're bringing light. As a matter of fact, when you walk in, they say, oh, don't they? It's like you change the whole atmosphere of the place. Because you are light. And here's what you're doing. You don't even understand it. You're getting them to reflect on who they are. Yeah, you do. And that's why you begin to get cut out of stuff. Right?
Yeah.
They don't invite you out to the parties anymore. No, don't bring them to the party. Or when you go, they drink a punch. They keep everything else in the cooler until you leave. They believe they're like, hey, Pat, don't you got to preach tomorrow? Now, nah, Eric's preaching tomorrow, but I'm staying a little while longer. Because you light. Don't ever forget that. You ought to reflect Christ wherever you go. But here is the struggle. Sometimes it's hard staying in character. Come on, now, y'all know I'm telling the truth. See, come on now. You in certain places, and certain things going on. Larry Hurd, tell him about the time we were at the airport. We were going to Hawaii, right? They lost my luggage. I lost my mind. I ain't ashamed. I had to get back in character. They lost my luggage. I had to pray about that thing. You got to be kidding me. I was not light. Amen. There is no way I could have shared Christ with that attendant. No, that had to be somebody else's job. She had already wrote me off. She said, that brother crazy. Yeah. And so wherever you go, it gets tight. I told y'all some years ago, I'll never forget, when my son was smaller, we went to Walmart that time, and a couple people came up, hey, Pastor Hayes, how you doing? Hey, Pastor Hayes. I'm talking about Walmart. And my son came up to me, he said something that was so true. He said, Dad, you always got to be good. He did. My son, he was younger time, he said, Dad, you always got to be good. He said, people know you everywhere. And I thought about that thing, and it shouldn't have been that I have to be good because what somebody else is going to see. It should be, I always be good because he's always seeing what I'm doing.
Sure.
Amen?
Amen?
I'm reflecting Christ. And what he's saying is that you do that, because you walk into the light, and look at verse 9. I'm going to hurry. I get carried away when I get this stuff. It gets good to me. I was all day in this thing yesterday. It says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. He's describing stuff that challenges us every day of our lives. Goodness, always trying to be good. Amen. There's only one good. That's the Father. But we're imitating him, right? So we're striving for goodness. We're striving for righteousness. What? Which was imputed to us. We have no righteousness of our own. Amen. But now that Christ died on the cross for us, guess what? And we are walking now, what? In the Spirit. We got to be righteous and true. That means I'm always standing for what is right. Why? Because the truth is Christ, and he's always right. I'm always standing for what's right. That means you can't lie. As my wife said earlier, putting away lying. Amen. And it's hard to tell the truth when you know you're going to get in trouble. When you tell the truth. Amen. Come on now. I'm talking to young and old. He's always said, well, but just a little white lie, they won't know, and maybe I can get by with this. But no, it's not you getting by with them. God is saying, don't lie. He says, why? Because the father of lies is Satan. And I'm your father now, and you're supposed to mimic that. Amen? I would always try to remember my dad, because I drive like my father. But I got it from him. Man, he had this 66 Bonnie Mill, big blue one, and I used to sit on it. It was a big, big long seat. And I was sitting on the side over there, and he right there, and man, he hit that thing, and that thing called was raise up. Remember that good call to get it? It was just raise up. And I'm over the side, and I'm just mimicking. Go ahead, Dad. One day, and now I got my own car. Come on now. We learn, be it good or bad, we learn so much from our parents when we mimic them. And they become like us. And sometimes that's not good. We have a father who has always done what was good, what was righteous, and what was true. And we're supposed to mimic him, and that's how you become the light. We're walking in light. Despite the atmosphere, despite the conversation we're being involved in, we ought to stand for Christ. And we ought to be telling folks, you ought not say that. Even when they're going to look at you like you're crazy and say, man, get out of here. And guess what you do? You leave. Amen. Because they got their comment and go, okay, you know, I'm just trying to help out with God. And you go. You ain't got to try to change everybody, but you do got to stand for truth. And that's what he said. Because see, that's when you become light. And why? Because verse 10 says, you want to find out what is acceptable to the Lord. Amen. We want to be acceptable to Christ. Out of all that we do, we might not be accepted by man, but we want to find out what is acceptable by Christ. Guess what? He wasn't accepted by man either. So why do you think it should be different for you if you're standing for him? Amen?
Amen.
For it is shameful even to speak of those things which some have done in secret. But guess what? But all those things are exposed. Why? Because when you come in, you're going to tell. Amen. And you're going to show them that it's wrong. See, you become that light. You're exposing darkness. Isn't that a blessing? Why? Because verse 14 is key. I'm going to get into the last point when we get out of here. It says, because awake you who are asleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. What he's saying there, he's actually using the scripture out of Isaiah 60. And he's using that to say that if you continue to be the light, you can be the light on the what? The ones who are in darkness. And because of your reflection of Christ, you might be able to share the gospel with them, and they might come out of their deadness. Remember, we were all dead in our what? Trespasses and sin, and become alive again in Christ. That's a salvific message right there. He's saying the reason why you want to be light, because there's so much darkness out here, but somebody might see your light, as Matthew said, might see your good works, but glorify your Father in him. Let your light so shine. Reflect Christ. Walk in the light because you are the light. They might not never see it until you get there. Isn't that a blessing? See, we're not walking. Go back to the beginning. He says, you ought not walk no longer like the rest of the Gentiles, the rest of the world, but you ought to walk in love. You ought to walk in the light. But guess what? You also ought to walk in wisdom. Now, you got to be smart about this thing. Amen. You got to be smart about this thing. And you have all wisdom. You know why? Because you have Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Let's do 15 to 17 and we can let you go home. He says, see then that you also walk circumspectly. I love that word. We used to read that when we were doing the church covenant. I had no idea what I was saying. I didn't. It was just one of these that circumspect. It sounded like a religious word to me. But it's not. It just means careful. It means be wise in what you're doing and be careful about what you're doing. Got it? In other words, when you understand that you're around folk, make sure that you're doing things that are pleasing and acceptable to God. Why? Not as fools, but as wise. Don't do things that are foolish. Be led by the Spirit of God. Stay in the Word of God. Why? Because time is running out. Amen? Time is running out. So in love, we want to reproduce who Christ is, right? In light, we're going to reflect the glory of God. Amen? But in wisdom, we're going to represent. We're going to represent who Christ is. Wise. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. What he's saying is that God wants us to reproduce who he is, reflect the glory of God, represent him to those who don't know him, that they might be saved before he comes back. And see, it's not that hard, but see, sometimes we get so caught up in the world that we forget why we're still here. We actually believe we're here for us. Come on now. It's all about me. I want to have this more abundant life while I'm here. I ain't got time to go out here and do all these sacrifices because I'm going to miss out on this and that. And they said that the reason why you're doing it is because he became what? The sacrifice of us, a sweet smelling aroma. And that's what he's saying here is that in your walking, in your wisdom, realize that guess what? You got better days ahead and it might not be here. Amen? Our times is coming and it's going to be forever. We're here to work. Amen? We're here to work. We're here to do what the Lord told us to do. And even in the work, it's fun. But we have to understand that God wants us to make a sacrifice. Let me think of Romans 12, 1 and 2. Y'all already know that. But he says, you ought to be what? A living sacrifice. What? Holy and acceptable. Which is your what? Reasonable. That's wisdom. Realizing that all that I do for the Lord here is going to bring him glory. Why? Because I'm grateful for the fact that he actually saved me. Amen? And I have what? An attitude of gratitude toward the one who gives me every day that I live, who's blessed me, who supplied my every need. Amen. Who's given me life, health, and strength. Everything that I have belongs to him. That's why we say Galatians 2:20, isn't it? I've been what? Crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what? I live, yet not I, but who? Christ lives within me. And this life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of what? The Son of God, who what? Who loved me and gave himself just for me. Use the wisdom that God has given you that people might see who you are and want to serve the same God that you serve. Because the time is getting darker. It is. This world is getting darker. The character of people these days, and guess what? They need to see some light. They need to see you upright, standing straight, giving them the word of God. Without fear. Wisdom. Right? Because what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We reverence God with our whole life, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Why? Because we know that this is what? The will of God for our life. Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of God is. For you, and for you, and for you, and for you. God wants us to be loved today.
Amen.
Because love is in need of love today. That's why we're redeeming the time. It's today. I'm not talking about tomorrow. Some people say, well, I heard pastor's message. Man, I can't wait till tomorrow. You might not see tomorrow. Amen. You might not see tomorrow. Why not do it today? Love is in need of love today. There is somebody that needs to hear what you just heard, that we ought to be what? We ought to reproduce love, right? We ought to reflect the light of God, the glory of God, and we ought to represent him in wisdom. And that means taking the time to do it while we yet have the time. You can replay. Well, most of y'all teams played on Thursday, but the ones who are gonna watch football, well, your team not playing until Tuesday. So y'all, we good.
That's all that matters.
We good, right? Your team gonna play. We don't have to watch football today. We can take the day and use wisdom, amen. And y'all feeling pretty good too, because y'all team won, your team undefeated. Amen. We ought to redeem the time and use the wisdom that God has given us to realize that, guess what? There are some family members right now that I know, if the Lord were to come back today, heaven might not be their home. Might not be their home. And yet, we will tell everybody we meet that we love them. Come on now. We will. What's up? Oh, man, you know I love my brother. Oh, I love my sister. And you didn't share Christ with them. And you know they need to say. That's not wise. It's not wise at all. And you haven't reflected the light of his glory, because when you get around them, you change so that you can fit in. All this is, see, it's right there in the scripture, see, and you get this and you understand, you know what, God, I got to tell them. I got to tell them today. Even if he doesn't listen, I still got to tell them. Why? Because that's why you heard the message today. Because you knew it was always on your heart. You've been thinking about it. All we did was confirm it. It's that love's in need of love today. Don't delay. Give yours right away. Why? Because hate's going around, breaking many hearts. Stop, please, before it goes too far. Let's give the word love. Father, we thank you. For your word. We thank you for the fact that you are still using us on this day to reproduce love, to reflect your light, and to represent you in wisdom. Now may we internalize these words by the power of your spirit and boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, that those who are dead might be made alive in Christ. And that we would be your vessel used on this day for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Give God some praise and elders.